Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cloud Conversations with me, Peter Rising, who at this moment is very probably pixelated, but I will probably become clearer throughout the show with any luck. I am so tired of StreamYard. I've just been talking to Azure and Anna about that before we started recording, and I think I may change to something else because it's so random. But anyway, enough of that.
Peter. You look beautiful.
Oh, you are so kind. You are so lovely. But but back with Azure again. We've done two shows in a row, which is awesome. It's always great to be in your company. How are you doing, Azure?
Doing all right. I've got coffee today. This is excellent. Like, I haven't had coffee in my house for like 2 weeks. And I'm very excited to be warm and caffeinated.
Yeah, I got water.
I'll have a coffee after this. We'll work on that later.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I am introducing today's guest. Everyone, want to say welcome to Anna Inez Urrutia de Souza. And welcome to the show. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yes.
Very well.
Okay. Yeah. Great. We were doing some pronunciation. Want to make sure everybody feels comfortable with the pronunciation of the name. I mean, I get it, right? So welcome. How
Thank
are you,
you
doing?
Very much. Thank you for having me. It's very well pronounced. I don't know why you English people mess with the U and the Y. It's like weird sounding, but you did it really well, both of you.
Thank you.
So, oh, amazing. Yeah. Yes, I rehearsed it as well before we came on, and I'm going to have another go at it now. Anna Inez Urrutia de Souza.
That's lovely. Yeah.
Amazing. Perfect. And I've had the distinct pleasure of meeting you in person twice very recently, Anna. It was really lovely to see you.
Aww.
Meet you the first time at South Coast Summit in Southampton. And then just last weekend in Manchester at the Viva Explorers Day.
Yes.
So it was lovely to see you and many
Thank
others
you.
In person. And I think I say this to you every time. I'm always jealous of your bigger glasses than mine. I really want some like that.
Hold on, look at this. When I feel too confident, I use this one.
Wait, you feel too confident? Okay, for people who are listening in and can't see this, Anna has, you know, these big glasses. But then if anybody's seen The Incredibles and Edna Mode, like, this is what the second version of the glasses look like to me. And I still think you look really good, girl. Really good.
Yeah. If you are listening on Spotify or Apple, then go take a look at us on YouTube and you'll get the full experience. YouTube.com/C/CloudConversations and you'll see Anna in all her glory.
You know what? I will confess something. I don't have any trouble with my sight. So
you don't?
I don't. I use them for the computer, and I really like how they frame my face. Yes. So you're going to see me in conferences where there's no computer around wearing them because I like how they fit. So they're an accessory.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that because I wear varifocals. I need them for reading and the computer. My eyes, I'm 50 years old, and I had perfect eyesight nearly all my life until about 2 years ago, and I started needing them for reading. But I've always wanted glasses. I was always so disappointed that I couldn't wear glasses. So when I finally got them, I thought, I'm not going to take them off and on all the time. I'm going to get varifocals and wear them all the time. And I love them.
I have some blue light glasses that I'll wear for the computer as well. And I like them too. It does add like a little something, like a thing of interest to your face.
Yes. Yeah. Everything started in Peru, and I had like very standard glasses, blue light glasses. And then it escalated very quickly. Like, I like this.
It's a fashion statement now. Why not? If it makes you feel good, wear it.
You know that people don't recognize me without my glasses?
I could believe that. I would absolutely
believe that. You do look different without them. Yeah,
so I look really different without them. It's like something's missing. Leslie, we crossed paths in the elevator and she didn't recognize me.
So what I'm hearing is you could be a spy just by taking off your glasses. Nobody would notice. I've been watching the Ocean's like 11 series and their disguises are terrible. They should have come to you, Anna.
Absolutely. That's a very good point of view.
Yeah. If you need an alternate career path, just that I support you in this one.
It's always good to have a backup plan. Always good to have a backup plan or a side hustle.
Absolutely, yeah.
But anyway, we are delighted to have you with us, Anna.
Thank you.
Would you do us the great honor of telling us a bit more about you? What it is you do, what your career path has been. You're looking at your LinkedIn, you have a very, very interesting background in HR and dynamics. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would be so kind.
So, my name is Ana Inés Urrutia de Sousa. This is how you say my name, just for everyone wondering. But it's not that different. It's the R that it complicates things for you, I think. So I'm an MVP since December 2020. It was really quick for me to get the award because during pandemic, I worked my ass off to. So I was living, when pandemic started, I was living, I'm sorry, I jump back and forth. I have ADHD, so it's very difficult for me to have a straight.
This is fine, don't worry.
This is perfect.
So when pandemic started, I was living in Peru, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I was alone living, my family was in Uruguay, I was in Peru. Have no idea what to do. I started my blog, and like every free time that I had, I spent doing things for the community. And that back in that time, I didn't think about the MVP as something that I could potentially have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like a consequence. And I got the award in December 2020. I am very happy to say that I'm the only MVP with Dynamics HR in Spanish and English. So we have Malin with HR in Spanish, in English and Norwegian.
That's awesome.
But in Spanish, we don't have anyone. So here I am. Yeah.
sidebar. Sorry. You know what? Finish. I have something related to that to talk about. Okay. Sorry.
Do you want to share it now?
Well, I was going to say one of the things that, who am I thinking of? No, talking about like being bilingual or having content in different languages is something that seems to be a universal issue. Everything's pretty much in English when it comes to like learning materials and whatnot for really anything tech related. I remember doing a demo for a group in Chile and they had to translate it, you know, into Spanish. But yeah, this seems to be something very common that things are in English and that's about it. And I know folks who are bilingual, right, they'll do English as well. But I think it's really cool to be able to say that you could do both languages and you're able to help in both. Anyway, that was just my thought. And that was something I brought up at a community roundtable lately that I had the opportunity to attend, that I think we should have our resources should be translated so everybody can benefit, not just people who speak English. So anyway, that's my soapbox. I'll get off of it.
I think for myself, I work with English and Spanish customers, and my Spanish customers, they don't like using the platform in English. So
yeah, that's fair.
The ability to share resources in both languages is very interesting.
Accessibility.
So, right? Exactly. Yes. And
lowering that bar of entry for people to get into the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Easy way to do it.
So, well, and I'm an MVP, I'm a speaker, I speak a lot, I speak much more than the world needs, but yeah, I do it. I'm passionate about Dynamics 365 Human Resources, and I'm a practice lead for that technology here in a company in Spain. But I'm originally from Uruguay, Uruguay, the tiny piece of land between Argentina and Brazil. So it's like this. We're only 3 million people, and and I'm a psychologist. I studied psychology because I wanted to work in human resources, and I ended up in technology. No clue.
A happy accident.
Happy accident, absolutely. And yeah, that's it. So that's basically who I am. I'm passionate about fashion as well. So I try to dress as colorful as I can. And yeah, that's who I am, I think.
Yeah, your fashion sense is cool. I really like that big black blazer that you wear at the conferences. It's a really nice jacket.
Thank you. I try to, yes, I use that a lot. It's, I feel really comfortable with it. And it's like dresses everything up. So you can wear it as jeans and it levels up.
Important to feel good, isn't it? If you feel comfortable in your clothes and you makes you feel more confident. So do you have, I must, as you're talking about fashion, that instantly makes me think of Donna Sarker. Do you have any Donna Sarker dresses or anything like that?
No, yet. Not yet. Not yet. I will have. I will have in the future. Maybe for Christmas I can order one. Yeah, but I really want something, because she gets my sense of fashion really, really well. And we speak about that a lot. And every time she posts a story to Instagram about the textiles that she's buying, it's like, oh my God, I love this. And because one of the things that she does is like she travels around the world for tech purposes, like conferences and so on. And she saves some time to go and buy textiles. So she has textiles from all over the world, and that is just fantastic. So I think I will need to order something.
Donna, you hear that? We need a dress for Anna.
Absolutely.
We're speaking it into the universe. Donna's gonna be our Beyonce of tech. You're like, just Donna, a dress. Okay. Donna is so cool. She is really.
She is. She's awesome.
The coolest.
I met her for the first time ever in person again at South Coast Summit, and she is so, so wonderful. I did a talk at South Coast Summit on autism and anxiety and mental health, and she came and watched my talk, and I was like, Donna is watching my talk. It's like
speaking up.
Fantastic.
She's really awesome. Involved with like accessibility and just making sure that people. She was the person who got me into my first conference. She had put out, I was following her on Twitter, and this was back in 2020. And I remember her putting out a tweet about like, let's show the people that we can put together a conference with diverse speakers. And I commented on it saying, maybe in the future or something like that, or I don't know if I'm ready yet. And she's like, I want you. I'm going to have somebody reach out to you. And that was how it started. So thank you, Donna, for voluntelling me to do it. You know, Donna's very much like, no, you're gonna do it. And I love that aspect that she brings people in without, a second thought. It's just, nope, you're gonna do it. I don't care what you think, we'll help you. Which I think is very much the spirit of, Power Platform community in general, and being able to like fall into things.
Absolutely, yeah, she's great. She's fantastic. No, I don't have anything yet to answer your question, Peter, unfortunately.
Oh, well, there'll be plenty of time, I'm sure. But yeah, HR and Dynamics 365, and that's an interesting blend of career experiences, and being the only one who, speaking Spanish in that category is absolutely fantastic. So more power to you. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But So you're living now in Spain, right?
Living in Spain.
Whereabouts is it?
In the in Madrid. Madrid.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I live here. I miss the ocean. Yeah. The weekend in Manchester, and the Sunday I was in Manchester because I spent the entire weekend there. Sunday I went out. I went to the city center. It was fantastic. It was super shiny and like sunshine and a little bit of heat, so like warm weather. It was fantastic. Yep. And then I came here to Spain, and since then it's been raining. So now it's sunny, but with a lot of, this kind of clouds that you think it's going to fall apart the world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's been raining all week in England too since you left the UK last Sunday. It's been a deluge all week. It's not too bad today, but yeah, it's funny because when I was only in Manchester on the Saturday, I got the train in the morning and went home on the night, and I got there, and everyone always says that Manchester is always dark and gloomy and rainy, but it wasn't. It was lovely day.
And I was there the complete weekend from Friday morning till Sunday night. It was super. Well, of course, at 4 p.m. starts to get dark and it's like night. But despite that, it was very, like, very, very wood grainer. I was happy about that.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's a beautiful city, Manchester. I mean, I got off the train and I got the tram to the place where we had the event, the Viva Explorers event, and it was just so easy. And then when I got the tram back to get my train on the evening, it goes right through the middle of the city, and it was just so busy, people doing their Christmas shopping. It was so vibrant and alive. It was just really nice. I wanted to get out and just explore a bit, but I had a train to catch, so.
Yes, it was great. I took a train on Sunday morning because I wanted to, you know, explore the city. The hotel was really good, but, you know, you go there, you want to have a look. And I went walking to Media City. I went walking there. And the Manchester United, how do you call it?
The football stadium.
Football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Old Trafford. It's right near where we were, yeah.
A lot of people taking pictures, like 10 minutes walk from where we were.
Yeah.
And everything looked so nice. Like I fell in love. I fell in love with the UK. I'm going once a month since, I don't know, October, September. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Really? Once a month. How far is it away from? I don't, like, geography wise. I know, like, how big the US is, but how close is that by train or car?
I can tell you, in flying hours, it's like around 2.5 hours.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. What do you normally do when you go to the city? Is it for work? Is it for fun?
This is a secret, but I use the conferences as excuses. So
why
not? Need to go. I need to go, you know? And because I need to go, even when the conference is only one day, I try to stay as much as I can just to learn the place. So, for example, now, next month, I'm going to Belgrade, and from Belgrade, I'm flying to London, staying in London. We have a party the 10th of December, but I will be arriving the 8th of December, and I will be staying maybe till the 12th of December.
Just to explore. I did the same thing. I was on a business trip last month, and I was going to Edinburgh to meet a client. So I flew into London and stayed in London for a few days just to hang around. It was my first time. I got to see the London Marathon. It was like a block from my hotel. So just, walked out the hotel and I was like, let me go find some coffee or something. And bam, hit the marathon. It was like mile 24. And I was like, well, it looks like I found my activity for the day. And, you know, was watching all the runners in their costumes. It was great fun. And then meeting people in the community for the first time, because that was my first time to Europe too. So I got to meet like Simon Owen, who does Power Platform for Avanade, Laura Graham Brown from Power BI. Like, it was just really, and I've known them actually for years. We used to work at the same company, just like in different departments, but we collaborated on some Power Platform stuff. But it was so nice just to do the same thing. Because the colleague was like, you know, to get adjusted to the time change, why don't you fly in like a day or two early? And then it was just exploring the city and having a really, really great time. I like the idea of like traveling for conferences or for work, flying in a little bit early so you can just do something on your own. Because when I was in Edinburgh, we were at the client like the entire day, didn't have really time to explore. And luckily a colleague, he was from the area. So after dinner, he's like, we're going to go on a mini tour and I'll show you where they filmed like the Marvel movies, you know, some scenes from Marvel movies where Harry Potter derived its inspiration, which I thought was kind of cool. So, you know, for an hour, we got like a secret night tour. But otherwise, we would have like flown in and flown out and wouldn't have had the experience to, you know, take a peek around. So I approve of this plan, Anna. Absolutely approve of this plan.
Well, my lesson is that I've learned it the last year when I went to South Coast Summit. I arrived, I stayed an entire like stay in the hotel, and the conference was in the hotel. And then I flew back to my place. I have no idea what Southampton looks like. So have no idea where I've been. And I mean, it's not something that if I'm going to a new place, I would like to learn at least where's the city center, buy a chocolate that not chocolate, but something, you know the city. And because the UK is so different, like the side of the road, the weather, everything is different. So it's kind of, I don't know, traveling and learning and really good. It was really difficult, this side of the road, for me.
Oh, yes.
Wait, in Spain, do y'all drive on the right side of the road or the left?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you KPO it or just...
England is pretty in the minority in which side of the road we drive on. Mm. And there's only two or three countries left in the world who are the same as England and drive on the left and have the steering wheel on the right. I think Australia do the same as us.
Jamaica does too. They drive on the left.
Jamaica do.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Sweden or Switzerland, maybe. Okay. I can't remember. Maybe
Switzerland.
One of those.
Okay.
Might do it, but I could be wrong there. But I think we're only talking a very small amount of countries who do it. It's funny how that ends up being different, isn't it? You guys are doing it all wrong.
I don't think so.
Well, the history of it comes from horseback tournaments. And you know, like if you watch Game of Thrones and they have tournaments and they got the soldier or whatever you call them on the horseback and they're holding their lance in their right hand. So that's where it comes from. The very first cars, which unless I'm in, correct me, anyone who's listening, if I'm wrong, I think we might have invented the car in England. Maybe. I think so. Anyway.
And I'm going to look this up.
I'm not sure. I'm putting out a disclaimer. And we on the right-hand side, and it's, you wind your window down, and it was based on being on horseback that you're right-handed. Most people are right-handed. And so
I think that's where it changed. Germans invented the car.
Yeah, the Germans invented the car, so I'm wrong. There you go. I didn't know.
You tried and you fought for your people, you know.
I just appropriated an invention for my country.
That's right.
No, we invented the railways. That's what it is. We invented trains. In fact, trains were invented very close to where I live. I'm literally about 10 miles away from the first ever railway, the Stockton to Darlington Railway, invented by George Stephenson in the late 1800s, I think, maybe something like that. So big, big railway history in this country. So that was maybe what I'm thinking about.
I feel like we need to preface it, be like, fun fact, did you know? And then it may or may not be a true fact.
May or may not be. I did give myself a get out clause straight away. I said, I might be wrong, so double check me.
You know that actually when I went to Southampton this last election, this year, I actually understood why driving in that side of the road it's useful, because if you analyze it, the majority of the people is like right-handed, so it's it makes sense for me to people to ride with that side of the road, right?
Yeah, so, if you go through a drive-through, you like reach out with your dominant hand to the.
It made sense for a second, but then when I tried to cross the street, it's like I don't know where to look. I look everywhere, just in case.
Yeah, it is very, very difficult. I mean, I've not been outside the UK for a very long time, but the last time I was maybe 2014, and the company I used to work for then, I used to have to go to mainland Europe quite a lot, Belgium and Germany and France quite a bit, and I really struggled looking the wrong way on the road, so I really took my time.
Wrong way?
Yeah, very, very difficult.
A random question. So when you travel, is there anything souvenir wise that you'll like to pick up to take home?
Like a souvenir for myself or for someone?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you have, like a consistent thing that you pick up and take home? What is your thing?
Tony's chocolate.
It's always chocolate. Okay.
Ooh, nice.
I like that. I
found in the free shop from the airport coming back. I went to Tesco's twice to find a Tony's chocolate, a white Tony's chocolate with raspberry, and I couldn't find it. And I lost all my hope. And then in the airport, I found two bars, and I bought them and a couple of other options. I love chocolate. Tony's chocolate is my favorite.
I don't know
Tony's chocolate. I love chocolate, too. It is one of my biggest vices. I love it.
I'm in lactose intolerance, so it's kind of difficult. But
you know what? We will suffer just a little bit.
It is worth it.
Like, I won't drink a whole glass of milk because that'll destroy me, but I can eat like a little bit of chocolate. Yeah. I'll do magnets. I like fridge magnets.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah, so just like a cute little magnet. So I have like a London bus, on my fridge, and chocolate. Well, I thought like, okay, I'll bring back some chocolates and some teas, you know, to go home. I brought a whole carry-on back with me. That's all that was in that carry-on, and I brought it for friends and family, and I haven't been able to distribute it that much because what happened? I forget what happened. I think it's just kind of been a busy month. So like slowly I'm dispensing like truffles and everything else. My boyfriend said that he would have had no self-control and would have eaten everything. I was like, no, I brought these for a reason. And I did buy myself some, so I wouldn't eat the rest of everything else.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything like that for myself. I used to, when my mother was alive, my mother passed away about 10 years ago. But prior to that, I used to pick up something for her wherever I went because she collected thimbles.
Yeah.
So I used to get her a thimble from every place that I've ever been.
For sewing,
yeah.
The little cup
yeah. Yeah, do you call them something different?
I have no idea how it's called in Spanish.
Yeah, but for sewing, yeah. And she had like cabinets on, they're actually still there. My dad still lives in the same house. Wow. And there's still cabinets of them on the walls of all the thimbles she collected over the years. So, cool.
The original shot glass. I don't know. That was just a stupid thing. I was thinking like, oh, they're small.
No, they're very small.
You could get a little sip of liquor.
Very, very small. You wouldn't get much of a shot in a thimble.
But you know how people will buy shot glasses? I don't know if that's a thing over in the UK, but here people will buy shot glasses like when they go on vacation and you just have a wall of shot glasses. So I was like,
that's a good thing to collect. Definitely. But I'm glad you got to see some of Edinburgh though, Azure, because it's a beautiful city, it really is. There's so much to see, the Royal Mile, the castle, there's so much. And as you say, the locations that have been filmed there, the Marvel, because one of the big fight scenes in one of the Marvel films is in Edinburgh Railway Station with Elizabeth Olsen and what's his name? The guy who plays Vision. Can't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either, but I'm like, I can see it. I'm not very good with remembering, like.
Yeah. And then there's the little elephant cafe where all the Harry Potter books were written, which
by that too.
Louise and I went in there a few years ago and you had to queue to get in. It was so popular.
We went at night, so everything was practically closed on that street, so we didn't get to go in anywhere, and the castle was also blocked off. There was like some construction happening or what have you. So I have to go back, and
yeah. I was so disappointed we didn't get a chance to meet because it was literally a week before South Coast Summer, and I was thinking, is there any way I can make this work that I can come and see you somewhere, but it just didn't work totally out timing wise. So
it's totally fine. I was there, it was like London and Edinburgh, it was like London, no, it's Cambridge and then Edinburgh, and then came back to London, and then I flew to Florida for 3 days for Summit North America, and then I flew to Boston and then to Philly, and then I came home. So it was, I was on the go trip. Too. It was just it was a really, really busy trip too. So I totally understand. We'll catch up next
time. Cambridge is lovely though. My cousin lives in Cambridge. It's a beautiful city.
Got to do like a one or 2 hour kind of tour. It was kind of this pit stop on the way to the airport. And stopped and got lunch there because my colleague, he lives near Cambridge, and he's like, you have to see. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Just absolutely gorgeous.
So but London, though, I love London so much. Before COVID, sort of 2 or 3 years before COVID, between sort of 2016, early 2020, I used to go down to London maybe once every week near enough and stay maybe 2 or 3 nights a week for the job I had then. And I got to know it so well. I know London almost as well as my hometown now. I can just zip around on the underground tube, and it's just such an amazing city.
I will say that London tried to starve me out though.
Did it?
I got to London like 10 a.m. on a Saturday. And I was staying near St. Paul's Cathedral area. So I guess that's more like a financial district, maybe. I thought it was like kind of touristy, like outside of my hotel window. I stayed in this really cute hotel. What was it? The Curio. So if anybody wants to go to London and stay in a really nice hotel that's just very cute, walking distance, a lot of things, the Curio. Like, looked out my window and a McDonald's is like right there, right? And I was like, okay, great. There's at least some choice of food. And Saturday night, I discovered a rooftop bar that was near St. Paul's. I walked over there. I get up the elevator and the like the bouncer or whatever, the guy at the door was like, are you here to meet people? And I was like, oh no, I'm dining by myself. And he's like, sorry, we don't allow single diners. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? And he's like, I know it's a bad policy, but we just don't do it. And he's like, are you here for work? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh darn. I was like, I don't know. He's like, okay, we'll go across the street. There's gonna be a place that's gonna let you in. Cause I was like, I just want to get a drink and like a bite to eat. And I go to that place. And the guy goes, sorry, we're having a private event, so we can't let you in.
No.
I was like, I should have just said I was with the event. He goes, go down the street. There's another place down there. And I went down there, and that place was closed. It was just kind of this whole thing that, so I was like, okay, I have a list of restaurants on Google Maps. There was one, the Shakespeare's Globe Theater has like a restaurant attached to it, and it looked really nice. I walk over there and I get in the restaurant and they're like, we just stopped dinner service. I was like, what is this? So I grab a drink. I walked back and I was like, there's McDonald's. There's a Five Guys over there. As much as I hate to eat something that I could get in the States, that would be fine. And they're both closed as well. No, it's only like 10:30 at night.
That is incredible.
The hotel restaurant was closed. I ended up having to, my colleague, I was like, I can't find any food whatsoever. And so he told me about one of the like delivery apps, Deliveroo. And so that's
Deliveroo, yeah.
So I ate a lot of halloumi when I was in London because that seemed to be the only thing I could really get access to was like semi-Mediterranean or, you know, peri-peri kind of style stuff. So London, you gotta do better. You're starving your girl out. That's
it's bizarre because London's sort of like New York. It's like it's never asleep.
But which is
clearly that night it was.
Yeah, it was the weirdest. I was like, how is McDonald's closed? McDonald's is like the thing that you can always count on.
It's closed. There is a great chain of restaurants in London. Well, it's not really a restaurant. It's kind of like a posh McDonald's, maybe.
Really?
And it's called Leon.
Sort
of like a and they do great coffee and they do the most amazing halloumi wrap. And I miss Leon so much because I live in the north of England and it hasn't quite made it up to the north of England yet. So every time I go down London, I look for the nearest Leon because there's just tons of them.
Okay.
How do you spell that? L-E-O-N?
L-E-O-N. It's absolutely amazing. Amazing.
I'm gonna put it on my list. Peter, we gotta go.
We really have. We gotta arrange this.
All right, Anna, let's pack your bag. We're going.
Yeah. You know, this is an excuse for me to travel. I have no problem with that.
Exactly. Me either. It sounds great to me.
Fantastic.
Oh, this looks delicious. Oh.
It is. They do books and everything. They got cookbooks, vegan cookbooks.
They have vegan food.
Do they have what? They do. They have vegetarian, vegan. I'm vegetarian.
I remember,
This looks so good.
It is amazing.
I like Mediterranean food too. Anything along those lines is just really, really good.
Yeah, but I wish they would get it up north because we get things later up in the north for some reason. It's everything comes to London first and then gradually works its way up the country. I think the most northern I've seen a Leon is Birmingham.
You have to travel. Think about that as an opportunity to travel, right?
Absolutely.
Think about your stomach, Peter. Think about your stomach.
Well, I'm going to be in London on November the 30th because I'm going to Microsoft in Paddington for a compliance roundtable partners event. So that's in the afternoon, but I'm thinking I'll spend the whole day there and just have a bit of a day in London and try and make the most of it. Maybe meet some friends and whatnot. We shall see. So it's been a while since I've been through London recently. When I went to South Coast Summit, I got the train via London, but I was literally off the train, on the tube, on another train to Southampton.
Yes.
So it was just
that's what happened when I went the first time. Yeah.
Yeah, conferences are way busier than I thought, to be honest. Yeah. I went to my first in-person one in September. But I mean, you can relate, Anna, right? Like, you started doing everything during the pandemic. Therefore, it was all virtual up until, you know, recently. But I didn't, people told me, you're not going to sleep, or you're going to get very little sleep. And I was like, why would that be the case? Because you're trying to catch up with everybody, hang out, so you know, true. It was so much fun to do it. Came home exhausted, but very happy.
Yes, that's the thing. So if someone's listening and you never attended a conference in person, book the next Monday.
Take the Monday off.
Because you're going to be exhausted. Yeah, and mm-hmm. you know that it didn't happen to me in South Coast Summit last year, but in Scottish Summit this year, I was like organizing and speaking, so it was kind of a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
The last day when we had the pub quiz at the end, like everyone was speaking and shouting and drunk. I don't drink, so it's another vibe for me. And everyone went like to the hall, and I stayed in like the room for a second, like this, like emotionally exhausted, drained, like trying to catch up with myself.
But it actually
works a lot for me. The conferences work for me because I don't like, I'm a loner. I'm very independent, so I can stay 20 days by myself or having. Small
introvert
local friends, and then when I go to a conference, it's like I'm full,
I'm
all in, and then I come back and I recharge,
It was so intense though, wasn't it? I mean, we were there South Coast Summit for 2-3 days maybe, and I was just meeting so many people I'd never seen before, and I think it took you and I quite a while to actually get the time to sort of say hello. It was in the bar, wasn't it, when we finally sort of, hey, it's good to see you finally, because I'd seen you around the event all the weekend, but we'd not had the chance to, somebody else got in my path. I really must catch up with Anna before I missed the chance. So, and that actually happened. There was some people who I saw in passing at South Coast Summit who I never did get the chance to actually do more than passing wave at.
It happens, you just get. You need to decide who you want to speak with
and schedule time. Yeah, there was one day where I didn't get to any sessions because people just wanted to meet, which was like, oh, this is really great too. Because I get like it was the first, at least, conference like here in the States, or at least major, I would say, one where people wanted to attend. And then there were people who, so I went to, well, was supposed to go to three. I had was supposed to be presenting at DynamicsCon Live. They started Power Platform Track this year, but I got COVID like the first day that I arrived. No. I tested positive for COVID, and I got it from a very cute baby. The baby's fine, but I missed the entire conference because I was quarantining. And so, I know there was no like virtual setup or anything, so I couldn't even watch anything. It was just me in a hotel room watching HGTV. For several days and ordering room service. But then there were people who were at, they went to like the meet and greet the night before, and luckily nobody got sick. I didn't even know I had COVID. But like, you know, there were people who were like at that conference. The next week was Power Platform Conference, which I did make because I tested negative. And then also at Summit North America, and I didn't meet the people. And it was like, we were at the same event, you know, for, you know, same spaces and just never ran into each other. And I just recently met some folks from like the DC, Washington DC user group, because we had a Power Automate round table with a couple of MVPs. We got invited to meet Steven Siciliano, so the vice president of Power Automate, which was kind of cool. He flew out from Washington, and all of the people there were like, we're so excited to finally meet you, because we were all in the same space and we never saw each other like at all, which I thought was so funny. But I guess that's just a testament. There's so many people like milling around. And, you know, we only live like 45 minutes from each other, but we have been in the same states in the same location and just never saw each other until we got to this, you know, went to there's a new Microsoft training center that we got to tour. And that was the place where we ended up meeting. And I was like, I think that's sometimes just how it works. But you just miss people like ships in the night.
Yeah, so true. But the event we were at last week, though, Anna, was the Viva Explorers Day, and you are one of the explorers, right?
I am. I'm a Viva Aviator.
Ooh, yeah, what's a Viva that? Aviator, and we'll get to what that means as well. But before we do, because I want to talk about that, is can you tell us a bit more about the Viva Explorers and how it came to be and what's involved and your part in it?
Yeah, so we have Leslie. Hi, Leslie. She's the guilty one, I think. But Leslie and a bunch of us, like MVPs working with employee experience platforms, we ended up building Viva Explorers. But the magic mind behind that, it's Leslie. So basically what we tried... Yeah, Leslie Crook. So what we tried to do was to create a space, an NDA space for all the people working with employee experience, basically with Viva. Everyone's from Viva besides me, that I'm HR and I'm trying to learn Viva. And we try to do this, to run events, to spread the word, to bring customer cases, to share people what the platform is doing and what it's not doing and how it can integrate. So we have a lot of people. And one of the things that I want to call out is that this community, like Viva Explorers, and what I like to call Viva Advocates, is like the other people that it's not part of the inner group, but it's also supporting. It's a very diverse group. So we have, I think that we have the equal amount of women and men, so or with little difference. So it's kind of a very good thing that we're proud about when we talk about Viva Explorers, the fact that we are diverse, really diverse. So yeah, I just wanted to call that out. That's what we are.
Awesome. And our very own Kat Beedham is one of the Viva Explorers as well. Kat is the Viva cheerleader, I think.
Yes, she is. She is. Yeah, I'm really fan of her. She presented a very great session. I was overwhelmed by all the things that we can do with Viva Connections that I was not aware of. And also, I'm a big fan of her in TikTok. So,
yes,
really good content. And I got TikTok because of her. So, yeah.
Shout out to Kat. Do you know if her session was recorded? Or were any of the sessions at South Coast recorded? Do you know? Or were they live only? Oh, okay.
Sadly, no. There is a few second clips that Kat asked me to film some of her session just so she could put a bit on TikTok so you can see a few seconds of it. But she'll probably recreate it for us, I'm sure.
Yes. You know that Shaq, he presented Viva Learning during the Viva Explorers event. And I went during that time, I went back to the hotel to change myself because I've seen the pictures that people took me when I was talking and I didn't like how I was looking. So I went back to the hotel, I changed myself, and I missed that session. And this week, yeah, but it has a good ending. So this week, Jack offered to do the same demo to me. So actually it was good because it was a 101 and he replayed all the demo with Viva Learning. That was really good.
Yeah, and I know you want to catch up with Kat a little bit, don't you? Because you got so much out of her session. It literally blew your mind. I could see the wheels turning in.
Hey, Kat, you have to recreate this. You have to give it back to us, Kat.
It was really good. I know what I was talking with Jack as well is that Viva requires a bit of understanding about SharePoint, and I have no idea about SharePoint, so I need... support, and I will reach out to her.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, I can help with SharePoint as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we are. We're waiting for you.
Yeah, multiple resources. So.
Yeah, this is the thing with M365 though. Everything just ties in, doesn't it? I mean, SharePoint is the back end of so many things.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, Yammer and Teams and. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
But I love SharePoint though. I really do. But yeah. So there's there's lots of Viva characters. I love the little character pictures that you have of all you explorers. And you are the Viva Aviator. And this is because you are a pilot. And I've been wanting to ask you about this for a long, long time. And then how did you get into flying a plane? I think it's mega, super dope, awesome. I love it. How can I get a ride in your plane, please? Can you fly me somewhere?
I don't have a plane yet. So I don't have a plane. I don't have a dress from Donna. So you can, this is for Christmas. I want all of this for Christmas. Okay.
Okay.
So the story is really fun. I'm not a pilot yet. I'm a student, but I'm going to get the pilot lessons as soon as I can. The story is the following. So during pandemic, I was living in Peru, and we founded, I'm very close to Malin Martins, who is the first MVP in HR. She's a rock star. She's like just fantastic. And I was connected with her, and she connected me to a group of people that it's really crazy, and it's called the Badger. So we had these meetings every Thursday, starting like around 6, and they went like all night long. Back at that time, I was drinking alcohol, so that helped me to keep up with all that conversation. And there was a question from Chris Huntingford. We have this kind of game, so we were trying to do something, you know, to stay motivated and to stay connected. So we had a lot of like, we recorded a video, everyone dancing, and we played games. And one day Chris asked the question, what do you want to learn? What are three things you want to learn before you pass, before you're gone? And I remember thinking about it for a couple of minutes and listening to the other people like answers. And I said, I want to learn how to play drums. I want to fall in love because I've never been in love, I think. And I want to fly a plane. And it took me like about 2 or 3 days to approach the idea that was something that I could do. It wasn't a problem. Like, of course, I was living in Uruguay working for Europe, so my salary was good. So I was able to invest and afford that classes. And in a month, I did all my paperwork and I started flying. So that's basically how I got into it. And I love it. You know, I have anxiety issues, so I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety a while back. And I'm very proud of that, so to share it openly. And flying planes is one of the only things that I do that it helps me like to stay mindful. Yeah. So while I'm flying, I cannot concentrate in anything else, because if I'm not focused on like the altitude or, you know, the planes or the control thing tower, it's just your life is going to end. So you need to be really focused on flying and stop scrolling or thinking about creating a blog or a workshop that you have with customers. So it's one of the things that I think it helps me. It helped me a lot with my anxiety. So that's how I came to flying. And yeah, that's it.
Oh, that is so cool. So cool.
I hadn't thought about like flying as mindfulness either, but I really love that angle.
That is really,
that, yeah, you have to put your focus somewhere to keep yourself alive.
You have to, I mean, flying is just, it's a bit, for me, it's fantastic. That's also one of the reasons why I find excuses to travel to short trips, because when you are in the air, and this may sound a bit stupid, right? But when you're in the air and you look down and you see everything so tiny and that you are up there, it's just, I don't know, it makes me feel like my problems are as tiny as those little trees that I'm seeing. And I can, if I put my mind into it, I can like see the big picture, and that nothing is really as profound or as hurtful as I'm thinking it is. So it's a very nice way to position yourself. I don't know, that's how I take it.
Really, that's like a wonderful perspective. I love that so much. Because I, as many people do in these modern times, also suffer from anxiety and depression. And I've had a long journey with that. And you have to find things that can that you can use to help you to understand your triggers and to cope and manage that anxiety. Because anxiety is not something you can cure. It's something that doesn't go away. You just have to come up with strategies and ways of coping and managing it. And that is a wonderful thing to do. So I'm very, very impressed. Indeed.
Thank you very much.
I love that. So we now know your Christmas list. You need a Donna Sarka dress and you need an aeroplane. So,
an airplane, yes. The Cessna 102. So, yeah. Anyone listening who wants to give me a plane, happy to go and grab it.
Yes.
How often do you get to fly, Anna?
No, in Spain, I haven't flown yet, but in Uruguay, I did like about 40 hours.
40 hours,
so, yeah, I didn't have a solo flight yet. But I'm aiming for that in the next year. So let's see how it goes.
Does it work? So I know, do you have to have like licenses in different countries to fly as well? So would you get like dual licenses like for the US and then for, I don't know if it would be Spain alone or like, you know, all of Europe or?
Yeah, you need to have, it's pretty much when you travel or relocate to another country and you need to redo.
Certify or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
You don't go through it's not the same process, but you need to, it's not that you can rent a plane and go and fly.
Right.
You need to be. And you know what? I don't drive cars. So learning how to fly was really
liberating.
Out of land for me.
Oh, you don't drive? Do you have a driving license?
No, I don't.
Oh, why? Have you ever driven a car?
Never in my life.
Really?
Wow, there you go.
Is that like a testament to good public transportation from where you've been?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. When I was living in Peru, I had like the taxi like remiss thing that they were moving. Like the company was paying for that, so I didn't have to drive. In Uruguay, it's like this, so you don't need travel or anything. And here in Spain, the public transport is so good that it doesn't make sense for me to have a car.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That is so good.
I don't know.
I wish it was so in the UK as well. It's some areas are better than others, but I didn't learn to drive until quite later than most people, because the legal age to get your driving license in England is 17, and most people when they're old enough will go out and do it as soon as they can. But my parents didn't drive. My dad, his eyesight was too bad, so he never learned. Bizarrely, he used to cycle to work, so I don't know how that worked. But he claimed he couldn't get a driving license because of his eyes. And my mother, my dear departed mother, she learned how to drive in the 60s. When she was in her late teens, early 20s, and it took her 4 attempts to pass her driving test.
Oh, wow.
And by the time she finally passed, she was so terrified of it, she never drove a car again. So till the day she died, she had a valid driving license. She could have got in my car and driven it, but she never drove again.
My grandmother, my dad's mom never drove at all. My grandfather would drive her everywhere, and that was it.
So I was 23 years old when I learned. I was 1995 when I was 23. I was working in an office in the big city in Newcastle, which is my city. And the boss said to me, "Do you know, Peter, it would be really handy if you could drive. Why not? I'll go and learn." And then there you go.
Nice. I'm so scared about the, I don't know how to say this properly in English, but the speed in the ground. So I'm so scared. And the fact that you need to be, so in the air, you don't have any trouble, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like no one is around unless someone is, you know, doing the things wrong, the wrong things.
Yeah. But
in the air, there's no one around it.
Yeah.
In the ground, you need to be aware because any idiot could like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so
something
true.
Something I cannot cope with.
Mm. Well, this something like this happened to me just yesterday, because I take my oldest son George to school every day, and it was a rainy, horrible day here yesterday, and so there was more cars on the road than usual. Mm-hmm. And where I drop him off normally, the road was just mad busy. There was cars just piled up waiting. And the oncoming traffic in the other direction, they couldn't move because there was parked cars blocking them. So I stopped to try and let them through, and I flashed my lights to say, come on through, I can't go anywhere, so I'll let you through. And despite this, though, some car behind me decided they weren't going to wait, and they overtook me. And I was like, what are you doing? It's like, so...
No, that's the thing.
Stupidity.
I cannot cope with people in, like, the side of the road, like, walking. I cannot imagine how that works.
It is. It's a big responsibility driving a car. You've literally got a lethal weapon in your hands.
No, it's true. It's very, very true. Yeah, here it's like where I learned how to drive, where I grew up, like public transportation like it's not good. So your only option is to drive places.
Yeah.
So I learned how to drive when I was 16. And then at my school, we had an activity bus. So if you did extracurriculars, so I did, you know, like I had orchestra, a couple of clubs. I also did cross country. So like long distance running. If you were to take the activity bus home, you wouldn't get home until like 7 p.m. or, you know, maybe later, because they had one school bus that serviced like one big portion of the city. So if you didn't drive, like you could be home much later than planned.
Yeah.
And then I was part of like a youth orchestra that was in another city. And my mom was like, okay, when you learn to drive, like you're gonna have to drive yourself, because I have, you know, two younger siblings and whatnot. And then rehearsal would let out at like 10 p.m. You know, kind of trying to get back and forth was difficult. And living where I am now, I live about 30 minutes outside of Washington, D.C., but still the closest, the metro doesn't go to that area of D.C. Nice. So if I, you know, I just have to drive. And then the closest metro to me is still about a 20-minute drive from me. So it's not even like I could take a bus easily to get there. Hmm. The last place that I lived, there was on Reddit a conversation about public transportation in your area. And somebody claims everybody should have an electric vehicle, or everybody should take public transportation. And I'm assuming this person like lived in a city, and they admitted like, oh, I live in the city center. Like I have no way to do it. But the United States is like so spread out that not everywhere is accessible. Like you need a car. And I lived about 30 minutes away from where I live now. And I mapped how long it would have taken me to get to work from there. And it would take me by public transportation 4.5 hours each way to get there. Yeah, it was something like 110 bus stops. It's not great. So, and this is like just outside of, you know, DC, but, you know, in the suburbs, it's really hard to get places without a car. So anyway, that was just a sidebar. I wish it was a little bit more convenient to get places.
But
between that and the rush hour traffic, it took me an hour and 15 minutes to go 35 minutes away the other day. I was just sitting in traffic. Wow. I'm like, oh, well, this is my life. Good thing I have a podcast on. You can't get mad about it. I know some people are really impatient, but it's just like a symptom of living in this area. It's so congested.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's nothing you can do about it, is there? You just got to wait it out.
No, I was in traffic for an hour yesterday from a place. I met a girlfriend of mine for lunch, and it ended up extending into, we just stayed and talked for a while. We hadn't seen each other in a few months. And I knew like if I wasn't on the road by 3 o'clock, forget it. It was going to take me an hour to get home for a 25-minute drive.
Yeah.
And in true form, it was just red lights all the way up the highway to try and get home, which is kind of sad that you have to plan your life around rush hour, or you just kind of settle in the fact that, okay, I'll be here for a bit and listen to some music. But some people get really, really upset. And
yeah,
I get it. Like if you actually have to commute in that every day, I think I would be very frustrated. Because sometimes the highway it stopped. And there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, we've been talking nearly an hour, and I don't want to keep you from your valuable time. I know it's precious. Okay. And but before we go, I'd just like to ask you to share with us anything that you might have coming up in the community, how people can get in touch with you if they want to engage with you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, of course. So coming, I am speaking in Serbia. I'm going to Belgrade. No idea what to expect, but I'm really hoping it's going to be a good event. It's actually, the agenda is looking really good. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the conference, so that's why I'm not avoiding to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking there. I've submitted a lot of sessions, so I'm waiting for next year to travel a lot more than I did this year. Yeah, that in terms of community. You can find me on LinkedIn, so with my name, my name is Urrutia de Sousa, and Twitter is pretty much the same, my name is Urrutia. My webpage is the same, my name is urrutia.com, and there I share content and resources, and all of my sessions are there, like recorded. So all the ones that have been recorded. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm really happy to help anyone who is willing to learn about human resources. So if anyone in the community wants to learn for career growth purposes, I'm happy to support and to give some time of my time to help them. So just feel free to reach out. That's my last message.
Oh, that is so cool. We should put some links to all that in the show notes. Absolutely fantastic. Well, Anna, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you again. It's a pleasure and a privilege to know you and to have met you finally in person. So thank you for sharing some time with us today on Cloud Conversations. You're an absolute star and we're very grateful. Azure, wonderful to be with you again as always. We've got lots more coming up. We've got lots in the pipeline, more guests, more demos coming up on the show. Hopefully a better streaming platform where I don't pixelate all the damn time. I don't know what it is, but it just
looks nice now. There's no problem with your
computer now. Yeah, just towards the end, it's cleared up finally. But hey, it's not about me, it's about our wonderful guests, so you shouldn't be looking at me anyway. We'll be back very soon. You can follow us on YouTube at cloud at youtube.com/c/cloudconversations. We are on Twitter at cloudcons365. Well, we might be if Twitter's still going.
I was gonna say maybe
by the time this broadcast comes out, who knows. Have to get a LinkedIn page or a Mastodon page, maybe.
Honestly, too. I'm like, where are we going to go if I'm being really serious?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to have a think about that.
Yeah.
It might be we'll have to have a think because it's not looking too great for Twitter right now, but who knows? We shall have to wait and see.
It'd be so sad. All of my friends in the internet, like, no, come back to me.
I know, right? It's just bonkers what's going on in the world. It really is. But we're not hard to find. We're all over we're on LinkedIn, and we've got the YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and we'll be back again with another show real soon. So Azure, thank you so much. Anna, thank you again for such a wonderful guest.
I appreciate it a lot. Being here, and thank you very much for your time. And thank you for the conversation. It was quite different from the ones that I was part of, so I'm really happy that we could speak like this, not speak a lot about work. So yeah, that was nice.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. That's what we try and do on Cloud Conversations. We talk a little bit about the tech, but it's more about the people, getting to know who you are, and we love it. So thank you. That means a lot, you saying that, Anna. But everyone, take care. We'll see you down the road on the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye.